Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com.
Today we want to talk about continuation of our topic from last time about how people are distracted or how they're misdirected on the news, how you're prevented from seeing what you're not supposed to see.
It's how the people around you, whether it's your coworkers, the news, your boss, your suppliers, the techniques they're using to distract you from a crisis that may already be happening. There are really five techniques that you'll run into most of the time that people use to distract you. The first one is flooding. And that's where someone puts out a lot of good information to make sure that people find that first, and they try to bury that bad information. This happens a lot of time. I mean, just open up Google and you'll see what it is. Because most people click on the first page result on Google. So if you're going to find out about, say, Miley Cyrus and the VMAs that just happened this last weekend, type that in, you're going to click on something that's on the first page most likely. And people know that. So they try to flood a lot of good information out there or a specific story that they want you to buy into. They put so many of those stories out there that to find a different story, you've got to go through pages and pages of Google results. And this is why I always recommend, yeah, sure, read the stories on the first page of Google, but then skip down to page 10. And if the results look exactly the same as the results on page 1, the same stories, the same gist, go to page 20, go to page 60, go 100 pages in, because that's where you're going to find someone with a slightly different opinion. That's where you're going to find out what's really being hidden from you.
For example, in my military career and afterwards, I have experienced audits. Now, most people think of an audit as, hey, I want to give the minimum amount of information. My attitude was, bury the auditor in information. Give him reams and reams and reams and reams of paper. Yeah, they might find some bad stuff, but there's going to be so much and it's going to be so boring that it's unlikely that they're going to get to all the bad stuff. And in fact, it's likely they're going to miss the bad stuff. And because you're being so open, so generous with information, obviously you have nothing to hide.
And a really good example of that, actually, in that you probably encountered just in the last few months, is the Paula Deen case. And we'll talk about this more in our next episode. But if you go to the articles for that, all of them have the same basic storyline about what happened to Paula Deen, that she used racial slurs, that it came out in a deposition, and all of them have those 100-page depositions on them. You can find it easily online, but almost no one has actually read the deposition. The fact that it's there makes them automatically trust what the article says. And as we'll discuss in our next podcast, there's a lot of information that people missed about that case. Not denying that Paula Deen actually said any of that, but when we dig deeper, you see that there's another side to the story. The second technique that people use is called the holiday burying technique. And this is when you release bad news. This is when you release bad news when something else that's really big is happening. And you do that because everyone's going to focus on that big event and they're not going to pay attention to what you're doing. Zynga, which is the company that makes Farmville, that game on Facebook that was really, really big for a few years, they did this back in October of 2012. Zynga had grown really quickly. They had hired hundreds of people and produced all these new games. They were catastrophically successful. And then they started not doing so well. Other games came on the market and they lost a lot of market share. And it turned out they had to lay off 100 people. Instead of announcing that openly, publicly, and holding their own big press conference, they waited until Apple was in the middle of its press conference announcing the new iPad mini, and they quietly sent out a press release saying that they had to lay off 100 of their workers. And everyone was so busy talking about the iPad mini and are we really going to pay $370 for this, that no one reported on Zynga's layoffs until it'd been a couple weeks and they'd already happened. And then it was old news and no one cared. That's what burying is. It's why celebrities tend to file for divorce at the end of the day on Friday. It's because they figure that the weekend's happening, no one's gonna pay attention to the news, everyone's busy with other things. By the time they check the news on Monday, it'll be the bottom of the story.
It's also, and the third technique is involved in that one there, because if you release something on Friday afternoon, there's no one available to check the facts, provide the facts, provide quotes.
And that's the third technique, is to they make their stories impossible to fact check. And that can happen in your regular life too. If you've ever had a boss come out, make a big announcement about something controversial, say, whatever you've heard about layoffs, I promise the company's doing great, and don't worry about it, and then disappear into their office and not be available for meetings, you've just run into the inability to fact check something. Anytime someone makes a declaration and then refuses to take questions or won't give you any more information, they're making it hard for you to understand more about the situation. If they had nothing to hide, they wouldn't have a problem answering more questions. You know that they're not giving you the full story. So be aware that they're probably trying to use that technique on you. The fourth technique is the divert. And this one is common. They're going to try to divert you from the bad information with either good information or worse information. Like, Frank, you used this example in a recent blog post. You talked about a CEO who came out and had to do layoffs, and he announced it to his employees by saying, "Great news, guys. Today, you get to start your new job hunt."
Yes, he did that.
Yeah. For instance, we just dealt with a company that tried to distract from the fact that they had a failed product by talking about a new one. If you ask them, "Hey, I heard that this product didn't do so well before. What happened with that?" They'd say, "Oh, that's no big deal. We were just launching this new, neat product and decided to focus on that instead." When it was pretty common knowledge, they'd had to end their old product because it wasn't very profitable and they'd executed it badly. But they wouldn't talk about it. They kept pushing that aside and talking about how they were just focusing on this cool new product. That's diversion. Or when a CEO wants to keep talking about how, "Hey guys, we got our trademark." Or we had one that kept having meetings to design their program developer's office space and met with interior designers and spent hours and hours on Pinterest and wouldn't address the fact that their product was actually 6 months behind schedule. That's diversion. It's finding lots of other things to deal with instead of the real problem.
Yes. Or JCPenney was another good example.
Oh, yeah, it is.
They had the new CEO, and he's rebranding and rebranding.
New products.
Oh, we're letting people off. Rebranding. Oh, we're losing money still. Rebranding is what? Boy, look at all the great rebranding we're doing. We're going down the tubes.
Exactly. They kept trying to focus on something instead of address the real problem. Point five is that sometimes people outright lie. They outright tell you that they're going to do something or that they want something, and they know that that's going to have cause you to have a reaction. They know it's going to make you angry or happy, and then they can bury something else. They can bury bad news.
In Washington, D.C., this is often called the Statue of Liberty ploy. During budget negotiations, and the Interior Department was famous for this, they would say that, "Hey, if you don't give us our budget, then we have to close the Statue of Liberty." This has become so famous. Anytime someone does anything like this, it's called the Statue of Liberty ploy.
Because they don't really mean, they know that they're not going to close the Statue of Liberty.
You just don't. You're going to take other cuts. But they don't want to put those other things up because they know people would accept those. But hey, they're not going to cut the Statue of Liberty.
So they pick something that's not really political. They don't want to bring up those programs because there are people on different sides, different parties who might object to them. They don't really want those on the chopping block. So they pick something that's so loved and would be so controversial to close that it distracts everyone.
Yes. The Navy had an infamous case of this where they were told, "Hey, the Navy's budget has got to be cut." Well, one way of doing that is by decommissioning ships. So the Navy said, "Hey, we'll offer up a ship they don't want to decommission, the USS Long Beach, the first nuclear-powered cruiser." And the Navy said, "Okay, if you don't give us enough money, we have to decommission the Long Beach." And Congress said, "Okay, thank you very much." And the Navy was left there saying, "Oh, well, we really didn't meet darn." That's how they lost the Long Beach.
And that's the problem, is they put something on the chopping block that they thought was a shoo-in, that they really didn't want to lose, and discovered that other people weren't as attached to it as they were. This also happened recently with the FDA. You may have heard in the news that the FDA has changed the rules for gluten-free labeling. It used to be that there really wasn't a common definition of gluten-free. And now the FDA has said that in order to be gluten-free, a product has to have less than 20 parts per million gluten test results. That means that for every million parts, only 20 of them can have gluten. And that's great. People have been arguing for that for years. It's a huge victory for food allergy and celiac advocates. It was a coup. People were so happy about it. It splashed across the news. People were celebrating. And it wasn't until about a week later that someone read the fine print. and they discovered that while the FDA had agreed to the 20 parts per million, they changed their mind on another part of the labeling law, which is that they would let food that was produced using a controversial, poorly tested process that says it can remove gluten from wheat, they'd allow food made with that process to be labeled gluten-free. And a lot of gluten-free advocates were really angry about that because there's no testing. There's no way to know for sure that that's a safe process. And so without knowing, they could be eating food that actually had been made from gluten-containing ingredients. But the FDA snuck that in the fine print while announcing this wonderful news. We gave you what you want, 20 parts per million. You guys got it. Yay, gluten-free. Please don't notice that we changed our mind on this other thing. That's another case of outright saying, it's a lie of omission. It's saying, here, we gave you everything you want. Please don't notice we didn't really give you everything you want.
That happens quite often, and we have to be aware of what's being used so that you can understand. Now, in our third episode, we're going to talk about why you have to be aware of these, because quite often what the stories that you see or read about or hear don't have all the facts.
Yep, you're being manipulated every single day and you don't know it. So. And we're going to tell you how to identify when that's happening to you in our next episode. So thank you for listening.
Have a good day.
Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 space solutions, and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2013 by Hutchison Solutions, LLC. All rights reserved. But no, seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you if you just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.